All right. We got one more good thing.
C-section is scheduled for tomorrow at noon.
Yay! I'm so excited. Amber is having her baby. God is going to deliver that baby safely tomorrow at what time?
Noon
tomorrow. That's and I hadn't thought about it until you said that. It clicked something else. Another good thing, and really good thing. 11 years ago today, March 9th is a really important day for me. My grandson, Titus, was born. He's the one I've told you about before. When he was about a year old, they diagnosed him with a type of cancer. That when the doctor was telling us about it, he said, now there's not much chance he'll survive. In fact, he used the number 60-40, 60 being he wouldn't survive even if the surgery was successful. Not only did he survive, he prospered. He's 11 years old, and I don't know any kid that squeezes the life and joy out of every day as much as he does. He makes the most of every minute. When I called him to go and told him happy birthday, I asked him, I said, how does it feel? You like being 11 years old? He said, well, I really can't tell you, Papa. He said, I'd just been it one day, and I hadn't can't tell you. He'd fit into this church well, y'all. He would fit into this group well. You got your Bibles. Let's go to Joshua. Joshua 23. From what I understand, during the plague that has hit me and the coughing up a lung crud that I've had for about 3 weeks, Kelly took you through a walk through the book last week to do all the reviews, so I won't do that tonight. I'll save your memories and I'll save my voice a little bit by us just getting right to the text. While I let you tell me this, somebody sitting there, tell me why we started reading Joshua together. Why did we decide to start reading Joshua? I'll let you tell me.
Help us understand when it's time to move on.
All right. Brad said it well. Help us understand when it is time to move on, how to do that, how to move on. We've said it, going to keep saying it. Nobody here is going to say to you, I'm not sure going to say to you, it's time for you to move on. I don't know the level of your pain. I don't know how deep the bruise. I don't know. But I can tell you this, there will come a time when it is time for you to move on. When you come to that conclusion, when you understand that it is time for you to move on, there's some good things in Joshua. Good things God told His people. Good things that how God worked with His people to help them move on that will help you do the same thing. Okay? Now in this room right now, there are people that are as, they believe they stand before God, or in our position right now, sit before God condemned. There are people sitting in this room, and I know you, so I'm not making this stuff up. There are people sitting in this room right now that believe they stand before God condemned. Now, anybody except the youngest ones in here know exactly what that feels like. There are people sitting in this room, starting with this guy sitting on this stool, that it wasn't all that many years ago when I stood that way before God and felt that way and thought things were hopeless. You know what I know? From my story alone, you know what I know? God is bigger than any mess I've ever made. God is bigger than any mess I've ever made. And as long as God is alive and I'm alive, guess what? There's hope. You hang on to hope. If you're sitting here and you can't breathe and you don't want to talk about it and it's the kind of stuff it's just too, it's pressing on you heavy, hang on to hope. You can't find it, then you hang on to my hope. But it's not my story. My story, on my story, it's the story of the Word of God. It's from Genesis all the way to Maps. There's some folks that were in deep, deep trouble, in a horrible mess, and God rescued them. And God used them, not just rescued them. God cleaned them up and accepted them and used them to His glory. If God can do that with them, He can do that with us. Hang on to hope. And if you can't hang on to hope, if you can't hang on to my hope, because I got hope for you. All right. But there's other people sitting in this room that are just so glad to be alive. They're just thrilled to death. This is a wonderful day. The sun is shining. Birds are singing. They're not coughing. Babies are going to be born tomorrow. Good stuff's going to happen. Enjoy it, okay? Enjoy it. Celebrate. Thank God for it. Don't forget how good this day feels. Because in the future, when someday turns wrong, when you feel things are sliding toward the bad, you hang on and remember, God does good things, doesn't He? God does good things, and He works good things out of bad, and even when we don't think bad stuff can ever happen again, we need to remember, man, while they're standing here in the sunshine right now, in God's glory and grace and favor, there we will be there again. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know what will happen the next day, but we will be there again. And there will come a day when we're there and it never ends. There is a day that never ends. We'll share with Him that glory forever. So honest, while we got to wait for that final move, the Lord will take care of that one, okay? He'll do all the packing. He'll make all the arrangements. He's already got the place prepared for us. He promised it. One day a trumpet will blow. That'll announce it's moving time and we'll all move on. And may God help it. Let it be that we're all there together in the same place. Getting to see His face. And just be so relieved that we don't have to go through some of this stuff anymore. All right? Joshua chapter 23. Joshua is saying goodbye to his folks. He's saying goodbye to them. He's an old fella. Look at verse 1. He was then old and well advanced in years. Okay? He got all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials together. And he admits it. He says, I'm old. I'm well advanced in years. And you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all the nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I allotted it as an inheritance for your tribes, all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the great sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you'll take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. I don't know that, I've got no inclination that this will be the last time I got to speak to you, but could you say anything better than that right there? On the last time you got to speak to the people that you love the most and work the hardest for, you get to say to them, listen, God's going to keep His promises. God is going to keep His promises. Hang on to hope. But before He leaves, He's got to tell them a couple of things. Look in verse 6. Look in verse 6. Now, I'm going to read a little bit. I'm going to read a little bit, and I want you to look for commandments. I want you to look for repeated phrases, okay? Be very strong. Be careful. Hang on a second. Be very strong. Does that sound familiar? That's chapter 1. That's how he started the book, didn't he? That's how God said it to Joshua. Joshua, I want you to be strong. Well, what do you think Joshua wants them to do before he leaves? He agrees with God, doesn't he? It's a good thing. So he says, I want you to be strong. That means what, y'all? I get a chance to review that point without making you review it. God made me review it. Why is that important? What did I learn about that when he just says it like a commandment, straightforward, be very strong? I'm sorry? They may feel weak sometimes. It's never our experience. So I think, but once in a while, some people feel weak. What else does it tell me?
That it can be done.
And Linda? You're capable. God says be strong means it's in you. It's not up to your mom and dad. It's not up to your brothers or sisters. It's not up to your wife or your husband or your kids or your parents. You get a chance to decide if you're going to be strong or not. So it's a grit your teeth, clench your fist, stomp your foot, shake your fist, kind of. Be strong. We're going to be strong. I know feeling weak. I know feeling weak. But God tells weak people, you can be strong. I want you to be strong. Now look at the next phrase. I'll keep reading. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you writes 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Now we'll stop the reading there and tell me what you noticed. Tell me what you saw. Let my voice rest a minute. You tell me. What'd you see? What'd you hear him say? All right, don't do anything against God. What did you notice him saying? And I remember I told you to look for something that was repeated. When God repeats something, what does he mean? When God repeats something, what does he want? He wants us to pay. It's the same reason your mama used to repeat herself to you. Same reason your daddy used to repeat himself to you. It's not that dad couldn't remember saying it. It wasn't that mom couldn't, that she didn't remember she said it. She said it because she wanted to make sure you heard it. He said it twice. What? He's going to talk about the Lord your God. That's right. But there's two. He says it twice. Look in verse 6. And then look at verse 9. See if you see it now. Now that I pointed it out. I'm sorry, verse 11. Verse 6 and verse 11. Verse 6 and verse 11. Be very careful. Says it twice. The first time he says be very careful is to do what? Now, I'll let you say it so you know I'm not making it up. And let my voice rest. But he said be very careful to obey. Folks, we live in a culture, in a religious culture, that doesn't have that as a thought. Because what we want to do, we developed a religious culture around us. We've developed a religious culture around us that really we want our religion to fit what we feel. I know people that will go to different churches looking for one where they are comfortable. I understand that. I want the same kind of thing. But it depends on what's making you comfortable. I used to go to a church that I was comfortable in because I could hide. And nobody knew I was there. I know people who go to churches where they don't teach anything against anything. Lady told me, she said, oh, you should come to our church. I said, well, what do y'all believe? And she said, we believe anything you want to believe. Man, what a deal. What a deal, right? The only problem is none of that's agreeing with God. God told Joshua after Moses died, be careful to obey the words written in the law of Moses. And don't you turn from the right or the left. You be careful. Folks, if he said it to them, maybe we ought to take it to heart. We ought to be careful. We ought to be careful to pay attention to what's written in the Word of God. We've got to be careful to obey. It's just real simple. Not always easy, but it is real simple. I don't understand. People say to me all the time, the Bible is so hard to understand. And I love it when they tell me that, because I ask them, I said, well, what part of the Bible do you think is hard to understand? Well, it's just all hard to understand. I've read the whole Bible, and it's just hard to understand. And it's amazing to me how many people have read the whole Bible and found it hard to understand. Because then I'll ask them, I'll say, well, show me a place where it's hard to understand. Well, the whole thing. Okay. So I take them, here's just some little places. How about love your neighbor as yourself? Oh, it's really hard. It's really hard to understand. No, it's not hard to understand. It's hard to do sometimes because your neighbor's a jerk. But it doesn't mean it's hard. It's hard to understand, right? How about don't cuss? Oops. Is that hard to understand? Nope. Maybe hard to do, but not hard to understand. Simple to understand. How about that? Just be kind to each other. That hard? Hard to do sometimes, but not hard to understand. God says be careful to obey His Word. A lot of us, a good number of us in this group, grew up in big church. And we grew up basically with the thought that your relationship with Christ and your relationship with your church was all about what the church believed. Okay? I saw people today who had ashes on their forehead because their church taught them that today that was something that was significant. I understand how that happens. Not saying yay or nay about that. Except, folks, it's not about what your church teaches. It's about what we obey. It's about what we do. Your church can teach everything that's right and you still be wrong. Make sense? The old preacher said it. He said, you can sit in a church building 24/7. Doesn't make you any more of a Christian than sitting in a chicken house makes you a chicken. But I hadn't tried that, but I suspect that's true. The point is, folks, we've got to be careful about obeying the Word. Well, now, first of all, we start with that attitude. Let's be careful. If God says it, let's agree with God. Let's do it. But there's a second phrase, a second thought there. When He says be careful, that means that there's a problem if you don't. Now, we'll get more to that later. But here's what I see us doing sometimes. If somebody else gives us another way of looking at it. The illustration, real simple. I'm old enough to remember back before movies had any ratings. And of course, the reason movies didn't have ratings back then is because there wasn't anything bad in the movies to be rated, right? So I remember when they started having some nudity and some stuff in movies, and they started having to rate those things. And I remember a bunch of teenagers talking about they went to a movie. And I had heard about it, had not seen it, but I'd heard enough about it that I knew it was not the kind of movie that I wanted my children going to, and I knew the parents that I worked with didn't want their kids going to either. And I said, why'd your parents let you go to that movie? And they said, well, because it had a PG rating. Now, I think it had a PG-13 is what it ended up being. But it was a horrible movie. Horrible, horrible morals. Horrible. But it was allowed. It was acceptable. Why? Because the world had put some rating on it that we seemed to think cleared it. How often do we do that? How often do we do things like that? Well, I've never gone to that, but I've done that. And because it's not as bad as that, we feel like somehow we're justified. Or better yet, I've never done what she's done. I've never done what he's done. And so how do we feel about ourselves? Better. I tell you one I hear a lot, and I hear it from us. Well, I'm not as bad as I used to be. Well, good. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean you're still doing right. Being better than you used to be is good, but it doesn't mean it's necessarily right. So you want to be careful to do what? To obey the Word of God, and don't turn from the left or the right. Real simple stuff. Now, what was the next thing he said be careful to do? Verse 11. He said, be very careful to love the Lord your God. I love that. I love that. What does that tell you when he gave it as a commandment? Love the Lord your God. What do you know? I'm sorry? You got to love Him. What do I know by that commandment? What do I know by that commandment?
Love Him above all things.
Love Him above all things. That's right. What do I know about that commandment?
Serve Him.
What do I know about that commandment? What's implied by the commandment? Love God.
That you can.
It's the same thing as be strong and of good courage. If God says you can do it, you're supposed to do it, that means you can do it. Well, I just don't feel like I love God enough. Well, you're right. Nobody does, y'all. You ain't ever loved God enough. But here's what we've done. We've been trapped in the Disneyland Oprahization of the world when it comes to feelings. Do you know how many times I hear you start talking about it with the guys and girl relationship? Well, and I heard it just this last week at where I work. A young single lady said, right, real nice guy, she said, I'm not attracted to him. Now, listen, and we're using just an illustration. I understand what that means. I respect what that means. God even has something to say about attraction in Proverbs. He does. But I also know that there's a lot of people who, if they don't feel like they love somebody, believe that that person may not be the person that would be good for them or that they should choose. They just don't feel that way. Folks, when God commands you to love Him, is He talking about your feelings? No. The word love, commanded by God, is not a feeling. It's not this harps playing, cherubim flying, arrow shooting, hearts, little hearts popping, sparklers and fireworks. No. I don't know what that is. That could be bad pizza or too much liquor. I don't know what it could be, but that's not love. You know what love is? Love is just what He says. It's a decision you make. I'm going to treat God this way. I'm going to look at God this way. And I'm going to love Him. I'm commanded by God to love Him, so I'm going to be careful to love Him. Now, what does it mean to be careful to love Him? It sounds almost odd to me to say it that way. Be very careful to love Him. You got to be deliberate in it, folks. You've got to determine, I'm going to do that. This morning, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to love God. That's not a bad practice. Not a bad practice for husbands to do with wives and wives to do with husbands and parents to do with kids and kids to do with parents. To wake up with a decision, today I am going to treat that woman, I'm going to treat that man, I'm going to treat those kids, I'm going to treat those old people like I love them. That's what love is. It's not the feeling. It's not the hiccup. It's not the indigestion. It's not the sparkle. It's not the fizz. It's the decision. And we wake up every morning and say, today I'm going to love God. Now, how do I show Him I love Him? If He said, you be very careful to love God today. Love God. So what do I got to do? What do I do? What does that bind on me? When I wake up in the morning and say, okay, today I'm going to love God. Things to do list. Number one, love God. And that is the first one. Jesus said so. He said it's the first great commandment. That's number one on your to-do list. Love God. That even comes before wife, husband, children, or my new job. You got to love God. So what do? If you're going to prove it, if you're going to do it, if you're going to live it, what do? Jesus put it real simple. Shiloh had it. Linda said it. Quoted it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You just obey God. He said it again. He sang it a second time, a different way, meaning the same thing. Folks, what God wants from us is not our spiritual thoughts. God's not interested in your multitudinous prayers. He wants to know, what are you going to do today? Are you going to do what I want you to do today? Today? How about today? You've seen it. Mamas have seen it. Dads have seen it. You got a child that gets up every morning and just wears your patience out. But they always want to tell you, I love you. And they want to kiss you and hug you. What do you want to tell them? Get away from me. Yeah. What do you want to tell them? Cut back on the kisses and start doing what I tell you to do. You want your mom and dad to know you love them, then do what they say. That's a good thing to tell them every once in a while, but just do what they say. In fact, do something real freaky. Do something that they haven't asked you to do. Every day, when I came during those school bus riding days, I'd come in the house. My mother would say, Rex, would you take out the trash? And I would begin to glow in the dark, sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, praising God for the opportunity to love my mama. I'm just going to let soak up that glory there for a minute. No, I did what you have done. I always have to take out the trash. Why don't you make Roger take out the trash? I always have to take out the trash. Stupid trash. And why there's so much trash in there? There's always so much trash. Why do you make so much trash? My mother even understood me well enough to know. She said, Rex, she said, every day when I ask you to take out the trash, said you do it. You'll fuss and fume, but you always do it. Said, if you're going to do it, why do you fuss and fume? Being very mature, knowledgeable of the scriptures, I said, well, if you know I'm going to do it anyway, why don't you just let me fuss and fume? Made sense to me until I read in the Bible. See? There's music. Music. Music playing to make this point. When I read in the Bible, Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. All of a sudden, I heard God's Word speaking to my heart. This was not something my mama told me to do. This was not something my preacher preached for me to do. This is something I read and God was speaking to me. Rex, quit your whining. Quit complaining. Quit treating people like that. They have to listen to you, so stop it. So I'm saying, if I love God, back up, if I love my mama, what do? I do what she says, and I do it without the complaint. If I love my wife, I do it without complaint. If I love my kids, I do it without complaint. You love your husband, you do it without complaint. Now, do I always feel like it? No, he didn't say you had to feel like it. He just said be careful to do it. Be careful to love. How easy is it? It must be then to not love him. It must be easy for us to get distracted. It must be easy for us to get off base and think about other things. So what do? My number one list on my to-do things. My number one thing on my to-do list every day. God said it. You be careful to love me. Now, he'll also tell them, he'll feel in a little bit extra when he'll say, I want you to love you with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Every way you can love God, love him. In your body, show him that you love him. And some of the stuff we've been doing with our bodies does not show God we love him. Show God you love him with your mind. Some of the things that we let play around in our brains do not prove to God that we love him. How about your strength? How about what you do every day? How many of us are wasting energy doing things we shouldn't be doing when we could, with our lives, with our bodies, do something that would honor God and show God we love Him? He said, be careful to love me. Those are the last two things. Part of the last two commandments Joshua is going to say to these people. But he left them, and he understood them. He left them with an or else. And I guess he knew us, because I figure we need that too, don't we? We need the or else too. So look at the or else, verse 12. You love God, you obey God, you love God, which basically says the same thing. Because if you turn away and ally yourself with survivors of the nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry and associate with them, then you may be sure, underline the phrase, you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they'll become snares and traps, whips on your backs and thorn in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. I wish I had the voice, and I wish I had the time. And maybe next week we can back up and do a little bit of work on it. Some of us are involved in some associations with people that are damning relationships. And I said it right. Let's hang on to the coffin and laugh in a second just so I can say it again. They're damning relationships. Not just damaging, they're damning. And I've talked to some of us. I've talked to you. There's some relationships you have. There's some friends you have that are no good, period. And certainly no good for you. And you should not associate with them. And some of us are risking our souls. We're risking the souls of our children because we don't want to say no to friends. I'm sorry, you can't say no to a friend to protect your child. You can't say no to a friend to protect your soul. Then there's trouble there. You got trouble coming in your life. And it's what God said was going to happen. There are some people you need to stop associating with. It says so. I didn't write it. He said it. And if you associate with those people, you get entangled with them, you can be sure that there's going to be trouble coming. Now keep reading. Verse 14. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know that with all your heart and soul, that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. That's the truth, folks, in our lives as well. God has never backed off any of His promises. You and I can claim, God didn't love me enough to do this for me. I asked God and He didn't do it. I'm telling you, if God didn't do it, it was because He loved you. I don't know why God didn't stop me from doing that. Well, because God gave you the free will to do what you think best. So maybe you ought to think loving Him is best and stop that foolishness. Look at this. He says, every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, read the next phrase, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil He has threatened until He has destroyed you from this good land He has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which He has commanded you, and if you go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land He has given you. Nobody ever loved us like God loves us. Nobody ever will love us like God loves us. And He do, well, move heaven and earth. How about kill a son and raise him from the dead so you and I could be saved? That's how much He loves us. But He's dead serious. You finally have decided it's time to move on, or you can't decide if it's time to move on, then pay attention to the or else's. Because if you don't eventually move on from some of these relationships, if you don't move on from some of these activities, the Lord's anger will burn against you. You don't want that. So be careful. Be careful to do what? Obey God. And be careful to love God. We're done. Just put it the first thing on my to-do list tomorrow. Never thought of doing it this way. Makes sense to me tonight. You got a to-do list tomorrow? I've got to write some reports. I've got to get for my files on some counseling I've done. I'm doing a suicide assessment first thing in the morning. I got lots of things to do tomorrow. First thing on my list ought to be love God. And since He said we could, we can. And not only we could, we should. And let's put that first on our list tomorrow. Love God. And let's do whatever we got to do. Let's say no to whoever we got to say no to and say yes to whoever we got to say yes to move on. Let's pray.
I got to talk to her for like 30 seconds today. Letting Jaden go has really weighed heavy on her. And she cut her wrists. She's all right, but they have her on suicide watch. And it's really weighing heavy on her right now.
If you couldn't hear Esther, we want to pray for Samantha. Okay? Samantha's going through a tough time right now. You can even make good and right decisions that make you feel like you've done something wrong. Let's pray that God gives her the wisdom to see that what her decision about Jaden was holy, was a healthy, good decision for him. And help her to be at peace with that. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for these folks, for the food that we had and the people that make it possible for us to eat, for the people that set up the chairs and the tables, the people that clean the bathrooms and pay the light bills, for the folks that give, and for the folks that receive. We thank you, God. I thank you, God, for every one of them. I wish I'd have said it better tonight, God, but I always do, but I thank you for the reminder that we need to be careful. And I'd ask, God, that you help us remember that. Lots of things have distracted us. Lots of things have lots of weaknesses have caused us to be selfish and self-centered. I ask, God, that you help us be strong. Help us be strong. And to be careful to obey you and to love you. And God, our word is, our words from our hearts are, we do love you. We thank you for every good thing you've given to us, everything good thing you've done for us. But we want to love you more. If you give us tomorrow morning, God, we'll try and start off that way right. To love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In the name of Jesus, who showed us how to do that. Amen.